Well, tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. That's Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. Now, I know it's late, it's on a Sunday night, you probably got somewhere to be tomorrow. But I got a lot of reading to do tonight from the text. And I say this many times, and I'm unapologetic about it. I would rather you hear from God's word than anything that I could ever say. Right. Amen.
Yes.
If y'all have Genesis 17, verses 10 through 14, the title of tonight's message is We've Got the Power Back. Beginning in verse 10, it said, This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you.
Yeah.
He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Somebody say everlasting.
Everlasting.
That means it doesn't fade away. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He is broken. My covenant. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you one more time tonight just thankful. Lord, for this opportunity to be in the house with other believers that we might hear a portion of your words. And Father God, I just pray right now for your anointing to rest upon my tongue, my mind and my imagination, that as I speak this word to your people, God, that you've already prepared hearts and that you open ears, God, to hear from you today, God, because there's nothing that can be said that comes out of my mouth that's going to change anybody's heart, but your spirit, Lord, you can do all of the work if you be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Anybody in the house been praying for revival? Anticipating revival to come back to our land. If we're going to get there, we've got to engage in this word that I love to say over and over when I'm speaking to people about when they don't understand why we can't be walking and doing what God's called us to do. It's because of surrender. Most of us are unwilling to fully surrender. Can I get an amen today? I don't think I've run across very many people in the last several years that haven't quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14. But there's some conditions to that scripture. There's one small word that it starts with, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. This is a key verse, but it's also the key to the verse is surrender.
Yeah.
If my people will humble themselves. If we want to see families saved. If we want to declare war on the enemy, we have to start by cutting away the flesh of the heart.
Yes.
Anybody remember that old song when you were a kid? And I'm sure that Brother Kyle and Sister Macy sing, Father Abraham had many sons. When I was a child, I had no idea what that song meant. But if it wasn't for Jesus, we would not be part of the family of God.
Yeah.
We would not have been Father Abraham's children. Amen?
Yeah.
He grafted us in. Jesus himself grafted us in, and now we're joint heirs with Abraham. And we are joint heirs with the Son of God himself. Romans chapter 2, verse 29 says, But a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart. By the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. This has absolutely nothing to do with your physical flesh. Parents, don't go home and try to circumcise your family and think the revival's coming to your home. We circumcise our heart by cutting away the flesh from the spirit man and allowing clean, pure hearts to stand before a holy God.
Yes, sir.
God has not called you out for such a time as this just so we can wallow in our filth and our self-pity and our old sinful nature.
Yes, sir.
God gave us Jesus that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 through 25 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you would."
Yeah.
But, another really big word that's only three letters long. "But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are made manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." I don't know how to say that word right, but y'all get the point. "Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations." When you look that word up, you find that it's ambition to be equal to or to excel your brethren. Mm-hmm. Keep it up with the Joneses, so to speak.
Yeah.
Wrath, strife, seditions. I said, well, what is seditions? Let's check it out. That is preparing yourself to go look for a fight. Some people just wake up in the morning and want to go fight.
Yeah.
Seditions. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. What is that? Drunken parties that run late into the night and end in sexual debauchery. Mm-hmm. Do we have that going on in society today?
Yeah.
"And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God."
Right, yeah.
And we come back to verse 22, and that same little word shows up. But, you see, there's always two sides to every coin, amen?
Mm-hmm.
"But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit."
Uh-huh.
"And they that are in Christ," somebody say it with me tonight, "and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh and affections and lusts."
Yeah.
You can ask my wife sitting back there, this fruit of the Spirit scripture. And I had a very, very bad temper problem when I was a young man. And I would, and even still today at times it starts to rise up. And I'll look at her and she'll look at me and she'll give me that look like, "You better calm down." And I'll start speaking this to myself sometimes out loud, don't I, babe? I'll just start saying love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Yes, sir.
How many want to have the full power of the Holy Ghost residing inside of us?
Yes, sir.
Do you know that the Holy Ghost will not dwell in an unclean temple?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever been filled one time before and were walking in victory, but the power, it just left you and you feel defeated? Anybody ever been there before? Tonight we want to talk about how to get the power back.
Yeah.
The title from this message came from when we were living in Crossett and a bad storm came through and it blew the power out in our house. Snapped a couple light poles. And the church that we attended in Crossett and I was associate at, New Life Church, we went up there because that part of the section of town had power. So we were just going to hang out in the air conditioner for a little while. Amen.
Yeah.
We go up there and we're there for a couple of hours, get a notification saying the power's back on. We gather up all the kids and we get back home. As soon as we pulled up in the driveway, the porch light was on. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that the power's back on if the light's on, amen?
Amen.
But when we got out of the car, The first thing out of Bethany Jo's mouth at the time she was about three, she said, "We've got the power back." And immediately the Spirit began to speak to me. We've got the power back.
Yeah.
If we're going to have any power over the enemy, we have to stay in God's Word and submit to Him.
Yeah.
In Exodus chapter 12, verses 43 through 49, we find restrictions for the Passover meal. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "These are the regulations for the Passover meal. No foreigner may eat of it. Any slave that you have bought may eat of it after you have circumcised him. But a temporary resident or a hired worker may not eat of it. It must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside of the house and do not break any of the bones. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. A foreigner residing among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all of the males of his household circumcised. Then he may take part, like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it. The same law applies both to the native-born and the foreigner residing among you." Back to our opening text tonight in Genesis 17 and 14. "And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised shall be cut off from his people." When we talk about pictures in the Old Testament, painting pictures for the New Testament, and for me and for you, Jesus was our Passover lamb.
Right.
How many of you know tonight that if you want to partake of the Passover lamb, there has to be a time in your life when you surrender fully to God and you cut away the flesh from your heart so that your heart is no longer covered by your sinful nature, but God Himself can have a picture and a window right to you and dwell inside of you and make your heart something special.
Yes, sir.
The entire picture of what took place in Egypt that day, the blood was applied to the doorposts and the death angel would pass over the house. The blood applied is exactly what has become available to me and you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood restores a right relationship with God the Father. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "It is by grace through faith that we are saved."
Yes, sir.
You see, we cannot partake in the Passover lamb and be spared from death unless we're circumcised apart.
Yes.
This sanctification that we talked about this morning, Brother Chris talked about from up here while he was worshiping, this thing that we used to say all the time, it's no longer taking place. You see, what we want to do in society today is get our fire insurance. We want to come to church and we want to get it around the altar and say, "Yes, I'm saved. I'm saved and I've got my fire insurance. I don't have to worry about going to hell." But we don't want to say we're saved and sanctified, because that part hurts.
Yeah.
Somebody with me today?
Yes, sir.
"They that walk in the flesh are of the flesh, but they that walk in the Spirit are the sons of God."
Yes, sir.
Keep focused with me tonight. I'm going somewhere, I promise.
Come on.
In Exodus chapter 3, well, let's back up the last two verses of chapter 2, said that God looked upon His people and were concerned about them. How many of you know that God cares about you?
Yes, He does.
Right where you're at tonight.
Yeah.
Chapter 3 leaves Moses attending his father-in-law Jethro's flock. And Brother Kevin even spoke about this a week or two ago, about the burning bush. And Moses got curious. And he goes over there, and God gave Moses a charge to go and set His people free. And he said, "Who am I that I should go? Who shall say I sent me?" And he said, "Tell them I am sent you."
Yes, sir.
The sheer surety that God is with us wherever we go is exactly what we need to know and should quicken our spirits to wake up every morning and not only praise Him and not only read the Word of God, but allow Him to cut away the flesh.
Yeah.
"The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent you."
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that you've been charged to work for the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
In chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, now the Lord has said to Moses and Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those that wanted to kill you are dead. Ain't that great how God works that kind of stuff out?
Yes, sir.
So Moses took his wife and his sons, and he put them on a donkey, and they started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform for Pharaoh all the wonders that I've given you the power to do. If God charges you to do something for him, he's going to equip you with the power to do so.
Yes, he will.
After assuring Moses that God would cover all of his insecurities, you know, he came up with the excuses. Y'all know how the story goes. But God, well, let me take care of that for you. I'll send Aaron to make up where you're lacking at.
Yeah.
God told Moses, the people who sought your life are dead. He already worked it out. Go and do all the miracles, signs, and wonders that I've given you the power to do. Come on, somebody, where is the faith of the church?
Yeah.
Has he not told us in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, that the signs shall follow them that believe?
Yeah.
And in my name you shall cast out devils, you will speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power. Say it with me. Power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and all of the earth.
Yeah.
As the church of the living God, we've got to submit to God and surrender our will so that we can allow him to begin working in and through us again so that he can gain glory.
Uh-huh.
You see, there's nothing that you're going to do for God that's for your benefit. He's not allowing you to have power and authority over demons and allowing you to lay hands on the sick and recover so that people from all over can lift up your name. He's doing these things through us and in us so that he can be glorified.
Yes, sir.
God is worthy of praise.
Yeah.
If you go to work tomorrow and somebody comes to you and says, I got this sickness in my body, and you stop what you're doing and you lay hands on them and they recover, you didn't do anything. The Spirit did everything.
Yes, sir.
But as I was sitting here reading this passage one day, I got into verse 4 and 24, and the words became alive. Do you not know that the Word of God is alive?
It's alive, yes, sir.
It will jump off the page and slap you right between the eyes.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the greatest aha moment if you seek God's face.
Yeah.
But I was reading in chapter 4, verse 24, it said, at a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took out a flint knife and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, surely you're a bridegroom of blood to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord let him alone. Mm-hmm. I begin to question, God, why in the world would you call Moses and tell him exactly what he needed to do and give him the power to do it and every tool, every single thing that he might need to lead your people out of Egypt. And then on the way there, when he stopped at a hotel, try to take his life.
Uh-huh.
Anybody ever wondered this before?
Come on.
I began to question God, why would you do all of this? You just endued him with power from on high, much like the men in Acts, in the upper room. You sent him to be the very tool that you would use to set your people free. You had him vulnerably stand in front of you and give him a charge to work and fill him full of power. And now you want to take his life. That's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. Our opening text tonight See, there was a covenant made between his forefathers and God himself.
Right, yeah.
Yes, Moses might not have been raised with his people. But do you know God provided a way for his mama to breastfeed him? And I promise you, she shared with him everything he needed to know.
Yes, sir. Believe that.
It hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, God, how did I not see this before? His first obligation was to God, to God's covenant, to God's commands, by circumcising his household. He could not and he would not carry out this work until he completely surrendered his life.
Correct. Yes, sir.
God had given him the power and was just about to quickly snatch it away from him just as quick as he handed it to him. Mm-hmm. Oh, but see, his foreigner wife, she sprang into action. You know what that tells me is that they had this conversation. Moses and his wife Zipporah, as the son was born, he said, we need to circumcise our child. And I'm sure there was an argument that took place. Any husbands or wives ever had a conversation such as this? I'm not looking at Hannah right there. I don't know what she's going to say. But it tells me they had this conversation and they had already talked about it at one point in time. And immediately the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and was about to take his life and she sprang into action. She might have even asked not to follow through with it because of their customs.
Yeah.
You see, another covenant there had been broken. We weren't supposed to intermarry, were we? People try to use that scripture today for racism, but it's not true. She decided that she better surrender and take action before she became a widow. How many knows that sometimes we just ain't going to do right? And sometimes some other person in our household has to get on their knees and begin to pray for us in mighty ways. And the Bible is true and holy and it's righteous. And it says the prayer of a righteous man changes things.
Yes,
somebody in your household, if they're righteous and they've already cut away the flesh and they're pliable before God, they don't have a problem getting on their knees and beginning to intercede for you and beginning to do things and pray in God's will and in his way for your life so that you might be saved.
Yes, sir.
His Midianite wife took matters into her own hands, so that the lack of cutting away the flesh did not hinder what God called her husband to do. Could you imagine if we had social media back then? You got kids on there now. My mama made me clean my room. My mama made me push it over the yard. Moses and the Zipporah son. Let me tell you what my mama did. God stopped the hand of death and allowed Moses to carry out the original plan. What am I saying today? If we want to see this revival break out in the land, if you want your loved ones to be saved, if you want your city to be set free from drugs and alcohol, we talked about this the other day, sitting around all of the men when we were cramped up because of the rain. I'm telling you, nothing happens by accident.
Right.
We sat around, and I believe that the young men were sitting there listening to these older men talk about the way things were and the way things should be.
Right.
Come on, somebody. If we want to see things change, and they were also talking about Brother Chris being an example and stepping up and doing something.
Yeah.
Anybody ever heard Matthew West, God, just do something? It's a song called Do Something. Anybody? Nobody? If you ain't heard it, go home and listen to it. Matthew West said one day, he just throws his hands in heaven. God, why don't you just do something? He said, I did. I created you.
Yeah. It's good.
All of this starts with you.
Yeah.
It starts with me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the risk of quoting a secular song, Michael Jackson said, I'll start with the man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, brother.
Not the point.
Don't go listen to that song. God is about to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And He's wanting His people to rise up and surrender in fullness so that He can carry out the plan that He's called us to do.
Yeah.
You don't sit in this church week in and week out, day in and day out, just so that we can get all energized and go on about our merry way.
Right.
God pours into this man right here on this front row so that he can stand here and pour into you, and that you might be energized to go out and do the work and fulfill the calling.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you this, just as sure as you leave this building, you will never feel the calling that is on your life until you surrender it all and say, Lord, circumcise my heart. Cut away the flesh. Get me out of the way so that you can work in me, that you might be able to move and do your will.
Yes, sir.
I'm so ready to see the days where the lost that are driving by or walking by, they just look at a building and feel drawn to that place.
Yeah.
Yes. To the point where the man is standing behind the pulpit at the time the double doors are going to open, and there's no altar call. He just has to run to the altar because he feels the draw and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
I've heard testimonies of revivals that went on for weeks and months and years at a time, where they had to call the fire department on multiple occasions because they swore they saw flames shooting from the roof.
Yes, sir.
The building wasn't on fire. The people inside of the building were on fire. Why were they on fire? It was because they said, God, we need more of you than we have of us.
Yes, amen. Grant it, Jesus.
Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, I choose Jesus.
I choose Jesus.
If I could get my wife to come up here today. It's only in the moment that we choose Him that the flesh will be cut away and die. So that the glorious risen Savior is the only thing that people see when they look at us.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
There's been several Wednesday night classes that have been really great here lately. And one of the things they talk about is, how do you treat the people that are waiting on you at the restaurant? How do you treat your co-workers? People, don't you know that it's not our job to walk around and tell people we're Christian and what our position is in the church? That's not our job. You know, we have to witness to people, and sometimes we have to use words.
Mm-hmm.
What's our job is that we get up every single morning and we cry out to God and we say, I surrender my full will to you today, God. Lead my steps. Direct me. Send the people my way that you want to be spoken to by your Holy Spirit that dwells inside of my temple. You see, you're not going to see revival. You're not going to see anything change until you change. His Spirit will make your heart clean. His Spirit will sanctify you. His Spirit will let the death angel pass you by if you've been circumcised at heart and you've made a covenant with Him. Would you stand with me all over the building?